Today is the Feast of All Saints. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the book of the Apocalypse. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels who had it in their power to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed, out of every tribe of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 sealed. After this, I saw a great multitude which no man could number, out of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and with palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing round about the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen." Please stand for the gospel. Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. At that time, Jesus, seeing the crowds, went up the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men reproach you and persecute you, and speaking falsely, say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is a very special day for all of us. Hopefully soon we'll be celebrating this feast together in heaven. And so it is our day. Day in honor of all the saints. It's this very special day for us also because clearly these Beatitudes tell us that there are some people who are special, blessed. What would be the point of these Beatitudes, which we have on our walls, if everybody's saved? No matter what you've done, what kind of life you live, even if you're not sorry for what you've done, we're all saved, according to the modernists. So you see, this is a good day for us because we believe that these magnificent promises of Christ our Lord are necessary for us. Because we will not be blessed unless we have these qualities. It is a call to each one of us to sanctity. This is what our Lord and Savior is telling us by these words. If you are not poor in spirit, then you will not be blessed. In fact, you will be cursed. Sanctity is not an option. It is a requirement. We must love. Love is not an option. We must love with all of our heart. This is what it means to be holy. We must be as the saints in heaven. At the very least, we must have a great desire to be holy. Of course, if we have this desire, then actions will follow, won't they? Anytime, we all know this, anytime we have a desire, we pursue that object of our heart. So at least we must desire it. St. Bernardine gives us an example of what our desire can do for us. And he tells a story. He lived in the 1400s, St. Bernardine. He tells a story of a nobleman, we presume he knew the nobleman, who went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And he went to all of the holy places. And he started out in the spot where the Lord and Savior, who is with us now, was born. And then he went to the River Jordan, where he was baptized, into the desert, where he fasted. And all the time, his fervor is growing and growing. He went to Calvary, where Christ was crucified and died. He visited the Holy Sepulchre. And lastly, he visited the spot where Christ ascended, from which Christ ascended into heaven. And we see even now his footprints. And this man got down on his knees and kissed these footprints. And he said, "Dear Lord, where can I go from here? This is the end. Take me. Take me now. And he died right on the spot and went to heaven. So you see how important it is to have holy desires. We all must be holy. It makes no difference who we are. It is not important if we are young or old. So you see, children, tiny children, also, when you see these Beatitudes on the wall, you remember that those are for you. And old people, people who are almost in the grave, you're not free from this obligation to be close to God at every moment and to pursue great love. It makes no difference if you are a priest or a nun or a lay person. No matter what your profession, great composer Haydn, Joseph Haydn, the entire time that he is composing his music, and he lived a long life and composed innumerable pieces of magnificence, some of the most beautiful music ever written. And what was he doing while he was composing his music? Saying his rosary. Because he knew what you know, that holiness is necessary. On this day, there are great numbers of saints here. Because there are so many saints in heaven, and now this is part of heaven. And so we have saints of every type here. And not just saints, but angels. This feast is in honor of the angels also, not because they are part of Christ's body, but because they have the same life we have. They have sanctifying grace as you and I do. And they receive it from Christ. Just like us. And it's also their feast because they have helped so much all of the saints to reach heaven. And so they are celebrating with their saints. And our saints are here with us today celebrating. And so here with us today are all of these saints. God knows how many. St. John says no man can count them. And some of them are little tiny saints. Children, babies, the holy innocents are here. Gave their life for Christ. And some of them are old. Many of them are great, great sinners, were great sinners. And they are here today in great numbers, meaning that each one of them, so the women saints who were sinners, a lot of them, all types of sinners, they're here for you women sinners. You're here as an example to you. There's a saint for each one of us, and probably 1,000 of them. Saints that we can relate to, that lives lives just like we live. And they're praying for us, hoping you will pray to them with all of your heart to help you to someday be with them. Saints of all kinds, every profession, and this, if you recall, this feast day goes back, dates back to, as our Father Superior just reminded you of the other day, dates back to the year 609, when Pope Boniface IV, this was just after the death of the great Saint Gregory the Great. And so now it's Pope Boniface IV, and he decides to bring from the catacombs, he decides now is the time, all of these martyrs who were buried in the catacombs for all these centuries, it's now the time to bring them out. They're going to bring them to this church dedicated to Our Lady, Queen of Martyrs. So they have 18 magnificently prepared chariots to receive at the opening of the catacombs all of these relics. And the Pope calls them forth. And they put them on these chariots, and then they have a great procession to this church, the Pantheon, which is dedicated by the Romans to all the gods. We don't mean to go into any details about this. We've given you a few just to remind you of what happened. But also, this all took place, just as a note, it all took place not on this particular day, but it took place on May 13th. This great church dedicated to Our Lady, Queen of Martyrs. And notice how special this day is, because this is the day that she came back years later at Fatima. May 13th, Our Blessed Mother returned. Must be a very special day for her. And because we all know what happened these many years ago, this feast is only 1,400 years old, that's all. And so we thought, because it's such a new feast, we thought, can we trace these devotions that we have to the saints surrounding us, since this was an old feast? It was new at that time, after 600 years of Christianity. Kind of new, a novelty. Because, you see, we are criticized by the Protestants because we venerate the saints. We pray to them. We venerate their relics. Pray in front of statues. And so the Protestants tell us, they believe that we have gone astray, way off the beam, these Catholics. So we thought, was this an innovation? Can we trace our devotions to the saints back before 609? And so we see that in the year approximately 150, we see the death of St. Polycarp, great martyr of the church, put to death by the pagans and the Jews. In Smyrna, in Asia Minor. And we see that, and it is recorded, that all of these pagans and Jews that put him to death were lamenting. What a sad thing it is that these Christians are going to gather up his remains, no matter what we do, we're going to gather up his remains and institute a feast in his honor that will be celebrated every year. These darned Christians. That's shortly after the death of the last apostle, about 50 years. This is a big practice in Christianity. Feast days in honor of the saints. And then we see Saint Ignatius, martyr. Saint Ignatius of Antioch. Died in the year 107. It is a pious tradition, legend if you want to call it, that Saint Ignatius was the little boy you have heard many times, the little boy that Christ placed on his lap and said, unless you become as little like this little boy, humble, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's who we believe was Saint Ignatius. Maybe, hopefully, that's what we think. But in any case, we know that he was consecrated a bishop by the apostles. So he was almost like an apostle, Saint Ignatius. And he was placed by Saint Peter to rule the see that Saint Peter founded, Antioch. St. Peter put him there. And apparently, St. Peter didn't, and St. Paul also taught St. Ignatius the faith. Maybe he ordained him. Apparently, they didn't do a very good job because St. Ignatius said in a prayer that he composed, O Mary, praying to the Blessed Virgin Mary, this poor example of a Christian. You are the most powerful defense that we have, we who are engaged in battle. The apostles didn't teach him very well. And you can see that Christianity was messed up from the very beginning, according to the Protestants. They didn't get things straightened out for 1,500 years. The apostles didn't know what they're doing. Saint Ignatius, by the way, defended her perpetual virginity and that she was the mother of God. It's like an apostle defending it. Just after St. Ignatius' death, not many years later, we have St. Justin, martyr. And a few years later, St. Irenaeus. These men knew the apostles, at least St. Irenaeus, just like St. Ignatius. St. Justin was one of the, maybe the first great defender of the faith after the apostles, expounded on Christianity before he was put to death. What does he call the Blessed Virgin Mary? He calls her our Redeemer. Saint Irenaeus called her our Redeemer. They say she redeemed us along with Christ. So they were essentially using the same terms that we use now, co-redemptrix of the human race. And they also defended her perpetual virginity and her divine maternity. That's how far back this goes. Very beginning. So you see, all of us has his saints that he can go to. And this is why we are here today. We are here, first of all, of course, for the glory of God. Number one, everything exists, first of all, for God, including this feast day. This is why God created everything, remember? God didn't need to create anything. He was infinitely happy without any of creation. So this is why he created everything in the universe, was for his own honor and glory. With a view in mind of the incarnation, becoming one of his creatures. This is why he made the universe. Because of love, remember? He did it for love. First of himself, secondly for us. So that he could be here with us in the Blessed Sacrament. So that we could receive him and be one with him. He did it. So you see, there's a hierarchy of his creation. He did it next so that he could have a mother. Greatest of all creatures next to Jesus Christ. And lastly, he did it for the saints. This is why he made the universe, not for the sinners, obviously, and not for any other reason, but just for the saints. And remember, he would have made the whole universe just for one of the saints, because this is how great the saints are. They are the greatest of all God's creatures. One saint is worth more than all of the universe. One simple saint, Saint Germain, little girl, she's worth the universe. This is how great the saints are. And we can say that God created the whole universe just for Saint Rita. He would have for one saint. And these great, powerful people who are in heaven now belong to us. Nobody else cares about them except true Catholics. As a matter of fact, we get the impression from not only Protestants, but the modernists, that they have great disdain for the saints. So they really are ours, yours and mine. And each one of us has his own saints, as we have said. Very powerful. Saint Bernard says, if they were powerful here on earth, and their prayers were very powerful, he said, what are they now in heaven? What can they obtain for us now, if they could do so much on earth? And so, this is the second reason why we have this feast. First, for God's honor. Secondly, for our imitation. These saints are here today, all around us, so that we can be aware of them and what their lives were like, what the great, great accomplishments, so that we can imitate them. We should be thinking to ourselves, and this is what St. Augustine said, If they can do it, I can do it. He wasn't the only one. We can list, we know of many of the saints who said the exact same words on their own. If they can do it, so can I. Why can't I do it? If these people who were just like me did it. Blessed Margaret Clitheroe, probably a saint now, probably canonized. She's just a housewife. But she was a convert to the Catholic faith in England during the Reformation. Well, this is like a death sentence. She converted to the Catholic faith. What courage. And she was caught. She was caught harboring a priest. Why was she condemned? She was condemned because she would not make a plea. The reason she would not plead her innocence is because she wanted to avoid completely court, a court case. Why did she want to do this? Because she knew that if she had to go to court to defend herself, that the first witnesses they would call would be her family. She's trying to defend her family. So even though she was guilty of harboring a priest, and this is why she was condemned, nevertheless, she was in the meantime condemned because she would not make any plea, just for love of her family, for God's sake. And her death was, her punishment was, that she was crushed to death. She was placed on the ground with a big rock under her back, and then a door was placed on her, and she was loaded down until she cracked. Just died right on the spot. Burst asunder. If this simple housewife can do it, why can't you? Do not imagine that she was able to do this without living a life of holiness. If they can do it, so can we. Are great examples. But also today, I don't want to go too long. Also today, we should be praying to the saints. We are supposed to pray to them today, the great saints as well as the little ones. Because you see, how many saints are in heaven that nobody knows anything about? Very simple people, unknown completely. And we pray to them today also. They have no feast day, but they are saints. They deserve our veneration, our prayers. It's a day of reparation for all of the prayers that we should have said to them. All of the honor we should have given to them during the rest of the year. We want to remind you also, brethren, that we will be rewarded for our efforts. It is possible for us to obtain the goal that we seek. Do not imagine you cannot do it. It's why God created you. You think that He would create you and yet you cannot reach the goal that He has made for you? He makes you for this specific purpose, no other. And yet, you are tempted to imagine that you cannot do it. You cannot be a saint. Why would God do this? Many people in this world aspire to things that are impossible for them, and they don't give up. There are people throughout their lives, despite the failure after failure after failure, they try, and we know we have said from this pulpit many times, if you try hard enough, you can do it. That's what people are told. If you want hard enough to be, if you want enough to be rich, you'll be rich. But you see, some people do not have the ability to do this. How many people want to be basketball stars or football stars? No matter how hard they try, they cannot do it. But yet their lives are dedicated to these ridiculous goals. They want to be rich. They want to be powerful. They want to be politicians. They'd be better off wanting to be assassins. Have a better chance of heaven. But these are the things they desire. We can do what we want. We can obtain our goal. We must persevere to the end. We must end this. Remember that heaven is for everyone. No matter how simple we may be, no matter how stupid, many of the saints had very little intelligence, but they had one thing. They had love, great love. Because in the end, this is what takes us to heaven, is our love. We don't need great intelligence. We don't need a great memory, thank God. We do not need a great memory. We just need to remember one thing, love. Surely we can remember that. Love with all of our heart. Do not give up. Second thing to remember, do not abandon your desire. Last thing, many years ago in France during World War II, there was a German soldier in a French hospital. He was dying. And this nun who was attending him, knowing that he was a German Nazi Catholic, said to him, "May I call a priest?" And he said, "No, do not call a priest. I do not want to see one of them." She said, "Okay, I'll pray for you then." And he said, "Good luck with that. Get tired of that before you can make any kind of headway with me." And she said, "I stick to my prayers." She said, "I don't give up." She said, "I've been praying for 16 years for one man." He said, "Must be pretty special. What is it, your father, your brother?" She said, "No, I never met the man. But I was asked to pray for him." By a countess. Because her son had gone astray and was living a life of sin. and now he is a soldier. And he said, "Was that Countess Beata?" And she said, "Yes, it is." He said, "I am the man you are praying for. And you may call a priest." So you see, brethren, you must not give up. Whether you're praying for yourself, for someone else, never give up. And happy feast day.